First public hearing is conditional use number 1829 ML Joseph Sand and Gravel Incorporated.
Yes, this is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district to expand excavation of a bar pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 40.85 acres, more or less, lying north of Road 322, also known as Bunting Road, approximately 2,400 feet west of Governor Stokely Road, being Road 432. For the benefit of the record, the applicant provided an exhibit booklet on April 30th of 2010. It's a spiral-bound booklet. It is a part of the record. That booklet contains a cover letter, a color rendering of the proposed pit, a photograph of the existing entrance, a tax map depicting the site and properties of neighbors in support with appropriate support letters, a hydrogeologic evaluation prepared by Duffield Associates, a letter for entrance location approval from DelDOT, a thermo sheet on a self-adjusting white sound reversing alarm, a report from Mineral Information Institute, suggested proposed findings of fact, and suggested proposed conditions of approval. The office also received four additional letters of support, and they were from Sina Sam, Wayne A. Pepper, Stephen Hudson, and Gary Hughes. And we also received two agency comments that aren't a part of the booklet that was presented. The County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments on May 10th of 2010, and we have been advised that the project is not in a proposed or current county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district, that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 5, that an individual on-site septic system may be proposed, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the project is not in an area where the county plans to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. We also received a report from the Sussex Conservation District that was received on May 11th of 2010. We were advised that the site contains five different soil types, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected, that it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Now, for the benefit of the commission, I just passed down copies of the survey site plan of the property. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, well, thank you. Is there anyone here with an interest in this application this evening? I see a lot of you folks there in the back. Just want to let you know that if you wish, you're more than welcome to get up and take a closer look at these exhibits. They're pretty hard to see from where you are. Just ask that you do so quietly, but feel free. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Dunkel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Dunkel, Barkowski, Gerken, Swayze, 116 West Water Street, Dover. And members of the commission. I'm here on behalf of the application, conditional use application 1829. With me tonight is Ken Adams, president of Stokely Sand and Gravel LLC. Mr. Adams wears a lot of hats, also operates the Melvin Joseph Company. Also with me is Jim Woolley from GMB Engineer, who you'll hear from shortly. Since I'm not an engineer and not even close to qualified to talk about engineering matters. And also Steve Smiller, who's here from Duffield, that prepared the geotechnical report, really essentially a clean environmental report, and he's here to answer questions. Everything that Mr. Blank has presented, of course, we agree with in this conditional use application. What I have put up on the first board, which is tab 3 in your book, it's a location map with really three pieces of information. All of the tax parcels colored green, those are all folks who have signed letters of support for this application. The darker tan is the site. It's a rectangular piece in the middle. That's the application site. In the lighter tan, that's adjacent lands that's owned by Melvin Joseph Company or related companies to the applicant. So essentially, it's their land. And legally, it's not. But, I mean, they're related companies, and they're obviously in support. So we wanted to give you that perspective. And I have an update, actually, with Mr. Lank's testimony of the last letters. We count 44 individuals in support of the application. I am going to ask in just a minute for Jim Woolley to come up and go over the specific plan with you, that review the buffers and the setbacks and all the items required of the plan. And then Ken Adams is going to come up and give you an explanation about why we have that picture of a baby in there from the Mineral Institute. But really, it's a good document that supports the need for this, the borrow pit, as well as we've got attached our proposed findings and, more importantly, the conditions, proposed conditions. And as you know, Mr. Adams' company is an experienced borrow pit operator in Sussex County, so a lot of these conditions come out from that experience and of good practices, or I guess what they call best practices nowadays. But that's about as much lawyer talking as I think I'm going to do, and I'm going to ask Jim Woolley if he would go over the plan, and then we're all obviously here for any questions you might have.
All right, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, Jim Woolley, Jr., George Miles and Buehr, 206 West Main Street, Salisbury, Maryland, Delaware, PE number 13710. As Mr. Dunkel mentioned, this is a exhibit that's now on the top of the board, or the top board illustrates the blue being the proposed area borrow pit. The dark green area that fronts along Bunting Road. Just kind of bring everybody, I should have started there. This is 113 Melvin Joseph Construction Operation, Bunting Road. Parallel road to 113. This particular exhibit is oriented. This is Bunting Road. So 113 would be out in this direction. The blue area is proposed borrow pit. The medium or bright green is the seeded bank area that's required for stabilization. And the dark green is the proposed native wooded vegetation, 30 feet. As Mr. Dunkel mentioned, some of the key components of the site plan, we have about 40.85 acres. There, it will be about 36 acres of borrow pit. In accordance with the county code, we started with DLDOT, got the letter of no objection. The two main things they asked for was an additional 5 feet of widening. It's an existing 50-foot right-of-way. They asked us to show dedication 30 feet from center line. And maintain a 15-foot easement for possible multimodal path or some other type of path in the future. The buffers shown on the preliminary site plan are in accordance with County Code 115, Section 172B. We have 100 feet off Bunting Road that starts from the proposed widening, 50 feet from adjoining property owners. And you will notice in the lower right-hand corner, there is a little bit of an arc in the pond. That's actually, if you look at the site plan, a 208-foot radius, which guarantees that nothing will be within 200 feet of adjoining dwellings. There is a dwelling on the Cathell property that's located immediately to the bottom of that. Other than that, it's fairly straightforward. The site plan package that we submitted does include not only the buffers and the native vegetative planting, but it also talks the reclamation plan. And I believe all the conditions shown on the site plan are in accordance with Section 172B, and they are also in Mr. Dunkel's book, along with his findings of fact. So unless you have any questions, that's a quick summary of the site plan.
Thanks, Jim. And I would like to ask Ken Adams to come up and state his name for the record and explain to you the mineral demand and how his plant's going to operate and why he's asking for this conditional use.
For the record, Ken Adams, 23047 Lakeview Drive, Millsboro, and I'm president of Stokely Sand and Gravel. The reason for inserting the, what they call the me baby, was kind of a lighthearted way of, you know, making light of the necessity of minerals, which sand and gravel is essentially a mineral, and how it affects our everyday lives and the building of homes and the paving of roads and just about any other facet of your daily life that it affects. And just, again, we just felt that that was a good way to bring to light the necessity of it.
And this is tab 7 of the report. And Ken, if you just sort of explain the operation and what you expect to do out there.
Basically, it's just an extension of the ongoing sand and gravel washing operation. It's been there since, I believe, 1991, where we extract the material and wash it and size it and make it a spec for mostly Del Dot materials. It goes in concrete and essentially hot mix is our two largest consumers. And it's mostly used locally in Sussex County for the overlay projects they're doing right now. The bridge, they're using our material at the Indian River Inlet Bridge right now for the uprights they're doing. And it's basically consumed, I would say, 90% in Sussex County.
And just so I can make an appropriate legal record, you're thoroughly familiar with the exhibit book that we've submitted
yes.
to planning and zoning. And do you agree that with the proposed facts and the proposed conditions that have been submitted?
Yes, I agree.
And also everything that we presented to P&Z tonight, you agree with that?
I do.
That's really all I have, and we're certainly here for questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Ross.
You've been existing since 1991 under a conditional use permit.
Sorry. The sand washing operation has been, yes, operating since approximately 1991. The borrow pit was a pre-existing non-conforming from the 50s or 60s, I believe.
And you're just running out of material, so you need to expand to get more material. Is that
yes.
the reason?
Yes, basically.
And will this generate additional traffic to what you currently have there? Or
no, it will be, the operations will remain as they are today. It will just be an extension of the same operation.
And have you been cited by the county for any violations at the current site for any county ordinance violation?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Very good. And then I notice you have fuel storage on site now, or you're going to add storage?
No, we do have, I believe, 1,000 gallons of off-road diesel on site stored in a containment area.
And it's above ground storage?
It's above ground storage.
And it conforms storage. With the new or,
yes.
well, relatively new?
So yeah.
That's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Adams?
Sir.
This may be a question, I guess, for Mr. Willie. The members of the commission having the benefit of the exhibit book in tab 4, the Duffield Associates on page 4, the part about sensitive receptors. Why I asked this question, I had the benefit of the book and the explanation in there. Someone could perhaps, for the benefit of the public, indicate what your perception is of either pearl or safeguarding of neighboring wells and any sensitive receptors in the area. I've got the report in front of me, but.
All right, I'm Steve Smale. I'm the geologist with Duffield Associates, 128 West Market Street, the one that prepared the preliminary hydrogeologic evaluation you have in front of you. In looking at this project, what the term sensitive receptors is, look at anything in the area that could be susceptible to something if something would go amiss on the project site. The reality on this property is there are a series of adjacent domestic supply wells. Most of those are at the bottom of the Columbia Aquifer out there. They're relatively deep. Their water quality with the expansion is going to be consistent with what the water quality has been with the ongoing operation. The current operation is going to be expanded into just additional properties. But nothing's going to change other than what's been ongoing for a while. The water that they are using there as part of the washing operation is recycled on site. Mr. Ross alluded to or questioned about the storage of the petroleum, the diesel fuel on site. That's in an above ground storage tank with secondary containment advised by all the current standards. So really this is the, in essence, the ongoing operation is well run. They have a history of being well run, and they haven't had a history of water quality impacts in the area that we're aware of, and we would foresee that could continue.
And could you just briefly describe your curriculum vitae to testify as a expert in these matters?
I'm a professional geologist in the state of Delaware. I've been practicing hydrogeology in Delaware for almost the past 15 years. My specialization is in groundwater resources, potable supply wells, and groundwater contamination transport and flow.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There you are.
Good evening, Mr. Johnson.
Good evening. In looking at your the site plan, do you anticipate the truck traffic is going to be redirected elsewhere than it currently is?
I believe that's a question.
Because you have two entrances, I believe.
Actually, the entrance that is on Route 113, when the hot mix plant got conditional use, I believe it was directed that the hot mix trucks leave the Route 113 entrance, and sand trucks continue to use the Bunning Road entrance.
So there won't be any change in that?
There would be no change.
Okay. So we're not talking about increase of truck traffic, just like you said, running out of dirt.
Yes.
Have you given any consideration or thought in looking at your site plan and having visited it of moving your entrance further south? Because I know that your entrance butts right up to the woods, so you're as a driver looking to my north, you know, you're blocked by the residents and the trees, and I notice they're not one of the sign-offs on your approval, but
I can address that actually. Approximately 2 years ago, the state used, I think, is community needs funds to pave Bunning Road, and at that time, I met with officials at DLDOT, Jemez Norwood specifically, and they discussed our entrance, and actually what you see there is an improvement from what we had before, and there was actually some clearing of trees on that north side, and we did the decel lanes and all the improvements there were basically at their direction, with them anticipating that we were going to apply for an application here. I'm not adverse to making some type of change, but you know, based on their recommendations and their safety, what they felt the line of sight was, we made the improvements at that time.
Well, I didn't know if it was doable, given how you're already, you know, taking out that one little bump there to have your 200 feet from the nearest residence, which might enable you to move that entrance without too much trouble.
Probably I guess we'd have to go through an approval process, a permit process with DLDOT, but that would probably be the maximum. Because to go any further would actually put you on the other side of the property once we excavated.
Yeah.
But whatever we did, you know, would have to be done through DLDOT, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. And noise level, what kind of noise would the adjoining neighbors anticipate hearing? Do you know what kind of decibel levels given off by your dredge?
No, I can't speak for the decibel levels of the dredge, no. We do incorporate and I believe that was in our package, the white noise backup alarms, which are a broadband alarm that's piercing at close proximity to the machine, but dissipates rapidly as you get further away, so it's less of an annoyance than the standard one tone backup alarms that you traditionally hear.
Right. I saw that about the trucks and equipment. I just was concerned about, you know, what kind of a noise is going to be emanating from the dredge as it gets closer to the Bunning Road that, you know, might.
I could find that out. Actually, I had some people out on site. I had these guys out on site last week, and the conversation we had earlier was they weren't aware of whether it was actually running or not. I mean, it of course emits a sound, but I, you know, as far as the decibels, I couldn't say.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions at this point.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Yep. What are your current hours of operation, hours and days of operation?
I'm sorry.
What is your current hours and days of operation?
It depends on demand and the market, of course. Right now, we're actually working, the guys, they're clocked in hours are 6 to 6 approximately, Monday through Friday, and we're working sometimes half days or full days on Saturday.
So you don't anticipate that to change, but that's...
I don't anticipate it to change much, but that's essentially what we're doing right currently. And again, it varies with market. That's more than what we were working 9 months ago.
I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
What does the buffer, the 30-foot buffer that surrounds on the Bunning Road, what does that look like? Is that on top of the berm?
Jim might want to speak to that.
It is from the reclamation plan, which is the third sheet in the preliminary site plan. It's a seeded area with starts out as loblolly pines. That area itself is not necessarily bermed, but the area to the inside, which is actually not shown in any color on the site plans, but on the black and white plan, you'll see a section of darker lines that are close together. That is actually the safety berm that's required by Mining Safety Act. So there's actually a forested buffer, then a topsoil berm, and then the seeded slopes at the edge of the pit. So the seedlings themselves don't have to be planted on a berm per this plan, but there is a berm inside of that between the pit and the forested area.
And how high would that berm be?
It's required to be either 3 or 3.5 feet minimum, or the middle of the highest tire on the equipment, but I believe it's 3.5 feet, the mining seal. I believe it's 3.5 feet minimum.
On that plan, it would be the inside green to the outside X green.
Yes, sir. It would be in between the bright green and the dark green. Okay. And this area in here would have that mine safety berm. Okay. So you would have the forested area, the safety berm, and then the steep slope planting mix in the bright green.
And there would be plantings on that bright green or no?
This is a seed mix on the bright green, grass seed mix that will adhere to the steep slope and keep the soil together and help prevent the washout.
What will the soil stockpile look like to the neighbor across within 200 feet?
When we wash the material, we put it up on conveyors, and it will not change from what they currently see. It's approximately...
Mr. Burton, are you talking about the soil stockpile that's next to the entrance?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Right. I'm pretty sure. There is also, Mr. Adams is talking about the wash material stockpile, which is further to the interior. That soil stockpile there is temporary in nature. That's where we scrape off the topsoil, and then it has to be held within the silt fence so there's no erosion or sedimentation of adjoining area, and then they'll use that topsoil to build the berm. So that's just that's basically something from the sediment erosion control plan that'll be there while we're scraping the topsoil and holding it there until we're ready to build the berm. And actually, Mr. Adams, I believe if you explained the other week, after you strip the topsoil, building the berm and everything is done before they actually move the dredge. Yeah.
So when you're operational, that stockpile will essentially not be there. You'll have
basically
used it for the berm, so the neighbor next to the thing will not be looking at a bermed dirt hill.
No, they will not.
No further questions.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions, thanks.
Okay. I have any questions, but I just want to clarify that I know you have a dredge there now. Your intention is to continue to use it, I would take.
Yes.
I would take it. Okay.
Yes, that's our intention.
All right, then. We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll
thank
see
you very
if,
much.
See if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. For anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1829, M.L. Joseph Sand and Gravel Incorporated. for anyone here that would like to? Yeah, in favor. Asking for people in favor. Anybody wants to speak in favor? Okay. In favor. Okay. Here we go. You give us your name, sir, and you may have the floor.
I'm C.R. Robinson, 22174 Bunning Road. Mm-hmm. I live directly across from the sand plant. And as far as some of the noise and stuff that he was talking about, I don't have any problem with it. We have motorcycles and cars going up and down the road that's a lot louder than the dredge. And as far as looking at the stuff, there's no problem with that. And like I said, I don't see any problem with it. And I live directly across, right across from the entrance to the sand plant. And like I said, I don't have any problem with it. So I'm here more and see more than anyone else up and down the road. And I was born and raised on that road. I've been there all my life, and I don't have any problem with it.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1829? Yes, sir. Step right up. You may have the floor. Give us your name, please. You may have the floor.
Phil Daisy. I'm at 22348 Bunting Road. I'm just down from the southern entrance of that facility. I'm not here objecting to the pit. In fact, I don't have an issue with the pit, but there are a couple of things that I would like to be incorporated into the paperwork. One is a proposed depth. Do we have a response on the proposed depth of the system? I'm not.
I'll ask them all your questions at one time, if you don't mind. If you go ahead.
Something we would like to request is a proposed reassurance that no wells will become contaminated and no wells will dry. And if they do, we would like to know what would be restitution for that.
Okay.
We're speaking of a deceleration lane. Is that going to be on the south and the north ends of the entry? And operation hours, they indicated, can those be confirmed or permanently marked?
Hours of operation?
Yes.
Be in other words, marked,
as opposed to exceeding beyond 6 p.m. at night or something of this nature, or starting work prior to 6 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, I understand what you mean. And the answer to your question is they can. If the if the commission chooses to do so, we do have the authority to impose that condition. If it is in fact recommended for approval. So the answer to that question is yes. The others, I'll get these guys to answer for you right now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. One of you. Well, Mr. Adams, you're probably the appropriate person if you recall the questions there. If you want to give us some answers to, let's see, we need to know about the depth of the pit. The other one is wells and
diesel lanes.
And the diesel lanes.
Hours.
Well, the hours we answered.
You got them down, right?
Yeah, we got the hours.
But currently we dig to 70 feet. Since 2005, we incorporated a new dredge. We purchased and put in place a new dredge that we're excavating at the same depth that we always have. We just, with the new machine, we enabled ourselves to do so without the necessity of dewatering, which also goes to the question about the wells. We took the time and took the expense to have the machine that we can do the same work at the same depths and not have to worry about disturbing wells. If it was determined that there was anything that, you know, could possibly happen with the well, of course, you know, we would take care of that. As far as contamination, we actually operate our dredge. Our hydraulic fluid is a recyclable peanut oil, and I think that's pretty broad practice in our industry. That's, you know, to hopefully prevent, you know, those type of things. It's a biodegradable material.
Desal lanes.
The desal lanes.
Actually, when we did the improvements with DelDOT, that's what we put. I think some people might call that a hammerhead entrance, but we actually put somewhat of decel lanes in then.
So what's there now is what's going to be there.
Yeah, and that's what was, like I say, at the direction of DelDOT.
Right. Okay.
Mr. Whaley, for the benefit of the commission and the audience as well, I think it's in the proposed conditions that were submitted, and it's in the typical conditions that the commission's developed for borrow pits, that there's a requirement that the applicant or the borrow pit operator comply with the requirements of Section 115-172B of the zoning code, and it actually spells out in there that they have to control the borrow pit activities to avoid odors, dust, air, water pollution, uses of roads and streets providing access to the site, and the location, excavation, extraction, and filling of the pit needs to be done in a way so it doesn't adversely affect the water table or flood criteria, hazardous, wasteful conditions, et cetera. So that is spelled out in the code, which is stated then in any conditions of approval if it was approved. And the fact of the matter is, if there was a problem, the county wouldn't have the enforcement ability to take action with regard to violation of any of those requirements. So there's protections all the way around on that. And, of course, DENREC's going to be looking at it, as is the Sussex Conservation District as well.
It'll get plenty of attention. All right, sir, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Oh, my goodness, jumping up all over the place. We'll start right here.
Question, I guess, for Mr. Adams. And if you can't answer this, I would understand, because there's probably a lot of factors to this. But do you have an idea if we act favorably, you get the approval for this, of how long this operation will go on? Would be 5 years, 30 years? And I know there's a lot of variables, demand.
With what I would call average consumption. Just this parcel here is probably 8 to 10 years just on this parcel right here. And that's just based on average consumption. If it slows down, it could be much longer. If it increases, it could be somewhat shorter. But.
Thank you. And Mr. Johnson, you had a question.
Mr. Adams, don't sit down.
Hold on a minute.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Following up to that question that Mr. Smith just asked, if this was not approved, how long would you anticipate before you ran out of current gravel?
Just as a clarification, Stokely Sand and Gravel, the owner, is actually a separate entity that purchased land from Mr. Joseph's estate. And what we have that's purchased and it's approved is probably maybe another year or so. Probably not even that.
So it's important.
It's fairly important, yes, to myself and I think the families of our employees.
And your employees too. Yeah. Okay. Would you anticipate moving the location of your of the actual sand plant itself? Is that going to remain where it is? So you're just dredging off of this parcel?
Yes, the plant would remain as is.
Okay. So the neighbors wouldn't be experiencing that additional noise because the plant's going to remain right where it is.
Absolutely.
Okay. And when you're done, is there any kind of fencing that goes around this parcel? Or
currently there is none. It does have the 3.5 foot berm around it. It does have signs, but on our east side we are fenced the entire length of the combination of the sand plant property and the estate property is actually enclosed, the entire probably 5,000 feet on the east side of the property.
How about on the west side?
It is not currently now.
Okay. Right.
There is a gated entrance.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Well, while you're still here, a question did occur to me that how many employees depend on the operation of this facility?
Directly, we have currently, I'm away from you, I believe it's 16.
Okay.
16 employees.
16, and
yes.
These are, I take it these are not minimum wage jobs. These are,
no, sir. They're what I consider skilled professionals.
Okay.
The operators of the equipment, the plant, and of course our truck drivers.
Okay.
And indirectly, I would add the remaining 65 employees of our construction company, as demand increases, we actually intermingle the equipment and the employees.
But there are 16 that are 16 directly involved.
Yes,
okay. All right, sir. We thank you. That's all we need. Anybody else? All right, now you can sit down.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.